Sportscast, April 1st, April Fools. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net for the latest. Today's sponsor is InstaBible, create verses in pictures. You can download InstaBible today in the Apple App Store. It's official. NFL owners have expanded their playoff field to 14 teams, formalizing a long-held aspiration nearly a decade in the making. The decision will change the complexion of the postseason, boost league revenues by nine figures annually, and perhaps provide a new level of job security for coaches. And here to join us to flesh things out of the NFL, Kailu Borden. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Thank you.
So, Kailu, how have you been managing this whole coronavirus pandemic up in New York City?
Oh, for me, it's been, like, really easy, just, like, watching a lot of movies, trying to, like, stay educated in the coronavirus, making sure, I continue to focus on my classes, watching some movies, catching up on some things that you don't normally do when a lot of sports is on. So, just catching up on some things.
Like, what is the process of school like? Is it all Zoom? Is it like a certain program? Do you guys have to check in? What is the process? What is the process of school right now?
So for me, we just have to log on Zoom for about less than 25 minutes, and then they gave us work during the classes. Like if it's a class, and they gave us Google Classroom. They use Google Classroom to upload work. And then, we turn it in through there, and then they just grade it.
Interesting way of doing it. School is still on. You cannot skip it. Zoom came in to the rescue. Kailu, let's look into the NFL playoffs. Of course, yesterday, NFL owners agreed to expand the playoffs to 14 teams. What are your thoughts?
I hate it because, first of all, going from 12 teams to 14, it's not about necessarily adding the extra playoff team. It's more that by comparison, the NFL is now going from 12 to 14, which is 43.7% of the teams. In Major League Baseball, 10 out of 30 teams qualify for the playoffs, 33.3% of the teams. In the NBA, it's 53.3% of the teams, 16 out of 30. In the NHL, it's 16 of 31 qualify, 51.6. The last 7 years, every team, every Super Bowl participant for the last 7 years has received a bye. So eliminating one bye for me in the playoffs, if you're a 13-3 team like the Saints were last year and you all of a sudden are overqualified three seed, now if you're Green Bay and you're a veteran team and you're having to play the extra game, I don't really like your chances, especially when you add an additional playoff team. I understand it's more money for the 32 owners. It's more money for the networks like CBS and NBC. But, I mean, if you're a 12-0 team and the team behind you is 10-4 and you have the tiebreaker and you're two games up, you're going to see that 10-4 team not prioritize the final two games in the regular season. So I think it's going to hurt the regular season product because adding more, yeah, it's good for the owners. Yeah, it's good for the networks, but you're kind of minimizing the regular season.
This is how it works. The NFL has added two wildcard spots. There will be three wildcard teams in the NFC and the another three in the AFC for a total of seven playoff teams per conference. The resulting six wildcard games will be played in back-to-back triple headers during wildcard weekend this year on January 9th and 10th next season. One of the new games, a 4:40 p.m. Eastern kickoff on January 10th, will be broadcasted on CBS and streamed on CBS All Access. There will also be a separately produced broadcast on Nickelodeon geared toward a younger audience. NBC and Telemundo will air Sunday's 8:15 p.m. Eastern game. The number seven seeds will play the number two seeds in that round, meaning that only the number one seed will get a first round bye. Now, Kailu, of course, there's been arguments that the number two seed doesn't really go to the Super Bowl and win it. What do you take about number two being devalued like that?
I think it's huge because have some stats. Since 1990, 14 of the 29 Super Bowl winners have had a bye. And every Super Bowl participant for the last 17 to receive a bye. So I think not having a bye, you're going to see 10 and 4 teams. And if a team's 12-0, you're going to see them not go for the last two games because there's going to be no point. Because if you're not going to get the bye anyway and you don't have the tiebreaker, it's basically going to de-incentivize the regular season. Now you're adding 43.7% of teams to make the playoffs. It was 10 out of 32. Now you're adding an additional two teams. I think it's gonna lessen the impact of the regular season, and you're gonna see a 7-9 team make the playoffs, and they're gonna go against a 13-3 team, and it's not gonna be fair to that 13-3 team. That there's been 9-7 teams that make a run. Don't get me wrong, but you're gonna have a 7-9 team beat a 13-3 team, and that 13-3 team was really overqualified. It's just somebody had an amazing year and they went 15-1. So I don't think that's fair to the number two team, especially a veteran team.
Yeah, for a number two team that was going head to head for that number one, with that number one seed, you know, pulling for it, it feels like it's just not fair. But at the same time, how would you have made it different? Like, if they didn't expand the playoffs, would you have made it to eight teams, or you would just left it at six?
I like the expansion personally, but like, you got to give up something to get. But like, the compromise of not having an additional bye, it's going to suck. Especially last year with New Orleans. I feel like even last year, New Orleans was an overqualified 3-seed. They faced a Viking team that was loaded on defense, and they lost in the walk-off round. I feel like that's tough. You're going to see teams at 9-7 like the Rams and 8-8 teams make the playoffs, and that's going to be compromises for NFC teams last year. The 49ers went 13-3, Packers went 13-3, and the Saints went 13-3. And what summarized the Saints was, that game that they lost to the 49ers. Otherwise, they would have been a 2-seed. So I feel like you're going to compromise some of the top seeds in the NFC.
This is a whole new playoff, whole new format. We haven't seen changes since the early 90s, right?
Yeah, 1990.
Another interesting situation is that they're going to broadcast the game on Nickelodeon. Is that necessary? I mean, are the kids your age not watching NFL?
No, I think it's more. I don't think that they're concerned people are not watching. I just think they want to broaden the networks, give other networks a chance, because with CBS signing Tony Romo to that massive deal, CBS obviously wanted that playoff game on Saturday. There was no way that they can, give them that deal and not want that playoff game. So I think it's more of them to broaden the access and control more networks and get more program on networks. I don't think it has to do with kids my age not watching. I think a lot of people are watching. I just think that they wanted to broaden the horizon and by putting it on more networks, you reach a greater audience.
Yeah, I mean, Nickelodeon, obviously, I mean, it's just saying to everyone, hey, maybe, I mean, this is what I got. It feels like, well, the kids of the future are probably not going to watch football anymore. I'm not sure if you had those thoughts.
No, I disagree. I think the NFL is probably thinking if we could put it on Nick, the more networks and the more daytime and programming that we can control, I think it obviously enhances the NFL. If we can put it on CBS, if we can get you to watch it on CBS, then we can put it on NBC. You can have something on Nick. I think it's just a way to appeal to the mass audience that they get.
I mean, do you think in the future they'll have it on the Disney Channel?
No, I think in the future it's going to be still network television, but I think it's going to be more streaming, Netflix and Amazon.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I know that YouTube and Netflix have the money to buy the NFL rights, but I guess NFL is still saying network TV is still the way. But how many more years do you think it'll be on the internet, like on YouTube, Facebook Live, or on Periscope?
I think the NFL still wants to keep on network television, and for the reason why, because sometimes on streaming it buffers, and it's hard to get the 100 million. Because streaming you have to pay. So it's hard to get the audience of 100 million like the NFL typically gets for Super Bowl if it's streaming. I don't think that you get the same audience. That's why they keep it to regular channels.
Yeah, big debate. I've been doing some advertising research, and TVs back in the day, I mean, network television was the place to put your ads on. Now it's just Google or Facebook or using like the internet, you know. But back then, TV was like the ultimate of the ultimate, you know, unless you're in Times Square. But quite interesting, the shift. We're definitely not seeing a whole shift to the internet. They will, well, like there will be showing one playoff game on CBS All Access. So will that have a paywall?
I don't think that you have to pay for, if you have cable, I don't think you have to pay for CBS All Access.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But anyways, let's move on to NFL news. Clowney has dropped at least $2 million off the more than $20 million per season that he had been seeking, told ESPN Russini. Clowney is now seeking a number closer to $17 million to $18 million, and the Seattle Seahawks and Tennessee Titans remain interested in signing the three-time Pro Bowl selection. Do you think he'll end up with Seattle?
I don't think he's going to end up with Seattle. I think he should have other suitors if he continues to drop his asking price. But the $20 million, they weren't going to give him that. They weren't going to give him the DeForest Buckner money or Aaron Donald money. So I think he obviously had to drop that because the market wasn't going to give him. So asking at that $20 million, even though he would hope for that, I don't think he's going to get that because he's not the player of Buckner or Aaron Donald. So, you know, the market had to ask him to decrease the value.
Clowney, who was traded from the Houston Texans to Seattle before the 2019 season, made an impact for Seahawks. While he had only three sacks in 13 regular season games, Clowney consistently was Seattle's most disruptive defensive lineman, and he scored two defensive touchdowns. He added 1.5 sacks in Seattle's two playoff games. The 27-year-old Clowney suffered a core muscle injury in Week 10 and elected to postpone surgery until the offseason. That left him playing in pain for most of the second half of the season. The injury sidelined him for two games. He missed a third game with the flu. Do you think he's one of the best defensive ends players in the league right now?
No, I don't think so. I think he's always been very talented. He's always been able to make that splash play. However, he hasn't been able to show a consistency, so no.
Something to definitely look at, of course, Clowney. The only team rumored is the Seahawks. I don't know. I'm not sure. Have you heard of any other teams interested in him?
Yeah, I don't think the market's very high for him right now because the asking price is over $20 million, and I don't think teams are willing to give him that amount of money, so we'll see.
The Jets are interested. General Manager Joe Douglas confirmed that he has talked with Clowney agents. We're going to do our due diligence on everyone who is out there, especially at edge rusher. Do you think Jets will be a good spot for Clowney?
I think it can be a good spot for him, for the Jets, for a couple of reasons. The Jets let go Leonard Williams to the Giants midseason, so they definitely need to address that position either in free agency still or in the draft. So I can definitely see that as a possibility.
Antonio Brown is working out with the Ravens, quarterback Lamar Jackson and wide receiver Marquise Brown. Don't know if that is speculations for him to go to the Ravens, but if it was, would that be a good spot, Kailu?
I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's, you know, a lot of players work out one another in the offseason, but I don't think, especially with the Ravens ownership and their general manager, I don't think they're going to bring him in. And I don't think they need to.
Yeah, Brown posted videos on Instagram of him working out with Ravens quarterback Jackson. Marquise Brown, the cousin of Antonio Brown, is also there. Some people thought Antonio Brown would make sense in Tampa Bay with Tom Brady, but Coach Bruce Arians shut down that idea. Do you think he should reconsider?
I definitely think he'll reconsider if they need. But right now, with Mike Evans, Chris Goodwin, and O.J. Howard, I don't think that he thinks that there's a fit personally. And also, there's a, you know, with something that Antonio Brown needs to look at, like, there's a lot of wide receivers in this class. You can find a quality fourth or fifth round wide receiver. That's a first round talent. They just happen to drop because there's a wide receiver and skill position rich draft. So, I mean, there's a lot of receivers in this draft class. So that doesn't help Antonio Brown.
We got a few other free agents besides Clowney. We got Logan Ryan. We got James Winston, Everson Griffin, Cam Newton, Marcus Golden, and Devontae Freeman. Kailu, which one of these players will get signed first?
I think Jameis Winston, and I think it's probably going to be as a backup for a year or two. he's still, I think he's 26 or 27, so he's still young enough to be a backup behind Big Ben or somebody, maybe go to New England, rebuild his career. So I definitely think he should probably go to Pittsburgh, sit behind Big Ben. They're similar in size, so maybe Big Ben could teach him for a year or two. He's still young enough to be able to get the system, and then he could definitely be starting in 1 year or two after he learns from Big Ben. So.
You think he'll get signed first, then Cam Newton?
The way Cam Newton's market is, I like Cam Newton, but the way his market's looking, it's probably going to end up being the Chargers. I'm hearing a lot of Chargers for him, so I think he probably can get signed. Maybe him and Cam get signed at the same time or something like that.
That I have not heard that argument, but that does make sense. You know, I mean, Chargers are probably going to draft a quarterback, you know, but they do have Tyrod Taylor, which is not the best, but Cam Newton could be that filler for 1 or 2 years.
Yeah, I definitely think they can experiment that. I mean, yeah, you have Tyrod Taylor there, but he's more of a backup. I mean, teams don't really keep three quarterbacks in the NFL, so it's going to be tough. So it's going to be really tough to keep three quarterbacks in the NFL.
Breaking news, Tua Tagovailoa says he's 100% ready to go. I'm pulling up the story right now. Former Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, one of the top players available for the NFL draft, said Wednesday, which is today, his surgically repaired hip is fully healed, and that he could step on a football field and compete at full strength immediately. He says, "I feel 100%. I feel like if there was a game today, I'd be able to go out and perform the same way I was able to perform in previous years. I feel as mobile as possible. I feel 100%. Kyle, what are your thoughts about his quotes right now?
I think it's good. I think it's good that he's feeling that way, but it's from his perspective. So I think it's obviously good and you want him to feel healthy, but we'll see as what the general managers are thinking.
Teams cannot send their own doctors or trainers to examine any draft prospects or free agents because of rules the league issued related to stemming the new coronavirus pandemic. That has created some angst, not only with Tagovailoa, but other players. Still, Tua is expected to be one of the top picks in the draft and the second quarterback selected behind LSU's Joe Burrow, who is projected to be selected number one by the Bengals. Tua said his agency has provided teams with all the updated medical information and has sent some teams videos of his workouts, which are taking place under the tutelage of former NFL quarterback Trent Dilfer in Nashville. I did not know that. He would not divulge which teams he has met with virtually, but he has said he limits meetings to just one team a day, and his calendar has been full. He added that some team owners have taken part in meetings. Most of the conversations have centered more on football as opposed to his health. Kailu, obviously Tua, you know, dealing with injury issues in the past. Now he's saying he's 100%. What do you think teams are more concerned about? You know, like his long-term health, or you think where is he at right now?
I think I would be more concerned about his obviously he's got to work on some things. I mean, you got to work on some things as an NFL prospect coming into the draft. I think he's really got to focus more on, like, his health. Number one, I think he's got to get stronger, which I think the NFL workout and stuff that they do will obviously help him with that. So I think he got to focus on, one, his health, and two, just making sure that he gets stronger.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, Tua is projected to go to the Dolphins, but there's been a lot of talk in the sportscast commentators that he could go to the Chargers. He could flip from 5 to 6. Not much of a change. But Kailu says the Dolphins. Are you still sticking with the Dolphins?
I think right now I'll be sticking with the Dolphins. But the Chargers, I mean, they have a lot of weapons. They added Trey Turner. They added Trey Turner in free agency. They added Brian Bulaga, which I'm very familiar with. The right tackle from Green Bay. All he had trouble is staying healthy. But, I mean, when he's healthy, he's a pretty good right tackle. So they obviously, you know, upgraded. So, and you know, if he falls to the Chargers, I think that'll be a better fit. However, I still have him going to the Dolphins.
Yeah, Chargers have more weapons, Kailu. You know, they got great wide receivers. They got Hunter Henry as tight end. The Dolphins don't have an offensive line. They might draft some OLs, but it feels like the Chargers are like one quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender. Do you think
so?
And
a kicker.
And a kicker.
And a kicker. And however, but I don't think they're going to be a Super Bowl contender, because even with all the weapons, the Chargers, even when they've had great teams, they can never really get over a hump. There's something about the Chargers where they go on the East Coast and the West Coast team. They still struggle at that 1 o'clock time zone. And also their kicking game struggles. Sometimes there's questionable in-game adjustments. So with the Chargers, and also being in the division with the Chiefs, who just won a Super Bowl, it's going to be tough for them.
Yeah, definitely. We'll definitely look at. Of course, the Miami Dolphins and the Chargers are kind of night and day when it comes to lineup situation. But, I mean, I've been hearing Justin Herbert to the Dolphins. I've been hearing Tua. Do those two teams need to trade up? Do you see any potential trades before the draft happens?
Yes, I do think. Well, before the draft, no, because of the situation with the coronavirus. But during the draft, I definitely expect to see trades in the draft, because there's always going to be trades in the draft. And I think that teams are going to be anxious to move up and get Tua. So I definitely think that there's going to be more quarterbacks, because the draft, there's always a lot of trades going on. So I definitely expect to see a lot of trades.
There is a few mock drafts, and there's one specifically that says that Jalen Hurts could be the fifth quarterback taken in the first round of the NFL draft. Kailu, of course, you've been following Jalen Hurts this past season. Do you think he could be the fifth quarterback drafted?
I like Jalen Hurts, and quarterbacks move up a lot, and football is very evolved to more Jalen Hurts' strength, but I'm not buying it. I've watched Jalen Hurts a lot, and I like him, and it could happen, but I'm not buying him as going to be the fifth quarterback taken. I think it will be a reach. I like Jalen Hurts, but I think it will be a reach to take him as the fifth overall quarterback based on what we know about Jalen Hurts.
Where do you think he'll land? Like, what round?
I think teams always try to get a quarterback sooner than they need him. So probably me, I would personally third or fourth round, but teams are quarterback hungry. Football's evolved. So they'll probably end up reaching for quarterbacks that they probably shouldn't. But me, third or fourth round, best case.
Third, fourth round is not bad. I've heard as low as the fifth round. But and then high is the second round. But now those people are saying the first round. I think the first round is a little too much. I do think Jordan Love would be the last quarterback drafted in the first round. Where that is the question. I like to see him go to the Patriots, but now his stock has moved up to the Raiders.
I haven't heard about the Raiders, to be honest.
Raiders have been speculating some things, but they just got Mariota, and, you know, it's just him and Carr for now. I don't know who's the third quarterback, but, you know.
I don't really see the fit with the Raiders. I mean, you have Derek Carr. You just signed Mariota. So, I mean, I don't really see the fit. I mean, you just brought in Mariota to free agency. You have Carr. So I don't really see the fit there.
You think Mariota might take over that starting role in the Las Vegas Raiders?
I think there definitely should be open competition, because Derek Carr, after that brief 2016, I think it was 2016, which he had close to an MVP season, there was a little bit of whispers. I mean, he hasn't really been that great. He's been up and down. He hasn't always had the best supporting cast around him, but he hasn't been great. I definitely think Mariota did himself a disservice by almost conceding the job to Derek Carr. I think that was a little bit of a disservice. I definitely think there should be an open competition.
I believe in open competition, and I definitely could see that happening very much soon. Let's go to the NBA. A couple of news. Marcus Smart, he is a Boston Celtic player. He is fine. He had coronavirus, got diagnosed 2 weeks ago. Now he's cured. Now he's good. And he's going to donate. I think he's going to donate his blood or something to get a cure going for coronavirus. Have you heard about that story?
Yes, and I saw it yesterday, and I was very amazed by the amount of work that athletes are doing. You see tennis players, you see baseball players, you see owners just contributing in a time where we really need them. So that was very nice of Marcus Smart. I know some other NBA players that, you know, were donating to their blood to help with the coronavirus. So that was very, very nice of Marcus Smart.
Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban, who expressed optimism last week that the NBA could resume as soon as mid-May, has backed off discussing any potential timetables for the league playing games again. Cuban says, "I have no idea," he said on Wednesday at ESPN Get Up. "I mean, the only thing I know is that we're going to put safety first, and we're not going to take any chances. We're not going to go to We're not going to do anything that risks the health of our players, our fans, our staff, the whole organization. So right now, I really don't have anything new to say. Of course, the country is going through a 30-day of no spread. They're having social distancing. Is May too soon, Kailu, or do you think this is going to be pushed off to June at the earliest?
I agree with Mark Cuban. I think it's tough to come up with a date. So I think the situation is very fluid. It changes by the hour. So I think what Mark Cuban said was 100% spot on. We don't know when NBA games are going to be. Woj can't tell you. The owners can't tell you. Adam Silver can't tell you. You just got to listen to doctors, scientists, the CDC, the World Health Organization. So I just think that it's a situation where it could change by the day. So I'm tough predicting when the NBA might come back.
And it's also tough predicting for the Chinese league. In a setback to the resumption of professional sports, the Chinese government issued an order Tuesday delaying the restart of the Chinese Basketball Association and other group sporting events, according to documents obtained by ESPN Brian Windhorst. The CBA's attempt to return to action after being shut down since January because of the coronavirus is seen as a test case for the American Sports League, especially the NBA. So the CBA, the Chinese Basketball Association, is not restarting yet, even though there were rumors they were, but they're not going to restart yet. So this is not a good sign for the NBA, Kailu.
Yeah, I agree. I think when I saw it about the Chinese Basketball Association, when Brian Windhorst brought it up, it was almost, it was almost damning because China got out of it, Well, China, they obviously their case amount slowed down, so, and they're concerned about a second wave. So I was very concerned for the NBA because, Jay Williams is suggesting playing on the cruise ship. I thought that idea was horrendous, bad for several reasons. But, it's tough for the NBA when China shut down their league for, I think it was almost 10 weeks. And they still think, I think when you get to months and months, and if it gets pushed in like June or July, the NBA, unfortunately, they might have to think about canceling. And I want to play NBA games because, David Stern died this year. The Kobe death was tragic, but you might get to a point where by June, if this is, and I hope this doesn't happen because there are a lot of teams having really good years and you don't want to waste another great year of LeBron, but you might get to a point where, although you're very optimistic of playing games, you might get to a point where you just can't.
Same for the South Korean Basketball League. The KBL has elected to cancel the remainder of its season due to safety concerns stemming from the COVID-19 pandemic, a source told ESPN. The KBL has been suspended since February 29th. Officials from all 10 teams met Tuesday morning in Seoul to discuss whether to resume on March 29th as scheduled, but they elected to abandon that plan. Could this come to a scenario where this year's NBA season is totally disbanded and not have a champion?
I think it definitely could. I think the NBA doesn't want it to happen. They're trying to come up with 40 different possible ways that, based on the evidence that they've collected with the doctors and the scientists, ways that they can, play in front of no fans. They play in June. But I definitely think that there is some possibility that the NBA, never returns for the rest of the season because, I don't think it's going to necessarily get better in anytime soon. So it could definitely happen.
We won't see your Lakers win this year.
I hope that's not the case.
They were bound to win it. Of course, we didn't know if the Clippers were going to come in and pause that, or maybe Milwaukee, which I thought those were the three top teams in the NBA, in theory. But we'll definitely keep you guys up to date. Of course, this pandemic it feels like it's non-ending, but hopefully soon we'll see things go back to normal. Another tournament that was canceled for this summer is Wimbledon tennis. Kailu, are you a Wimbledon fan?
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up because I was getting ready to mention that before you closed. Wimbledon being canceled with Serena, that stops her chance of winning another possible Grand Slam. So, and Venus and Coco Gauff, who really emerged last year, the 16-year-old stud as she is. So that was really, actually they couldn't postpone it because the Wimbledon, the tennis calendar is so tightly bunched together. So that really, didn't catch me by surprise because, the other events are basically canceled.
Wimbledon has never been canceled since World War II, Kailu.
Yeah, I know. I saw that on ESPN Stats and Info.
Kind of sad. Hopefully, so far the spring sports have been delayed. The summer tournaments have been delayed, all the soccer, now tennis. now draws, you know, back into the fall. And is there a possibility that the NFL might be delayed or something different might happen next season?
I don't know, because it's tough to, like, tell, you know, where the world's going to be in September. So I think the NFL should go on with their plans to play, and then as they get new evidence, basically changing the plot.
Something to definitely look at. Is a really sad moment, but just like Mark Cuban says, safety first. You know, this situation has never happened before in our lifetime, so we're definitely getting adjusted. Things have to be delayed, and hopefully we'll just get things going soon. Kailu, anything else before we close?
No.
Random question. Can you do the moonwalk?
No.
I cannot either. But you could always learn on TikTok. Kailu, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about free agency?
They can reach me at KailuBorden12 on both Twitter and Instagram.
And are you on TikTok?
No.
Not yet?
No.
You can reach here at The Sportscast. You can go to thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. We have the latest stories on the NFL mocks right now. We'll give you more information of NFL free agency, a couple sprinkles here and now, and we'll keep you guys up to date. Clowney, I think Clowney's going to be signed any moment, hopefully this week, if not next week, but very, very soon. He's that not the last big free agent, because there is Cam Newton and James Winston and Devontae Freeman and others. So we'll definitely keep that, keep you guys up to date. And you can reach us on Twitter at TheSportsCast1, TheSportsCast1. You can also listen to this broadcast on podcast through iTunes and your favorite podcast directory. And please leave a rating and review. Please don't forget to subscribe and follow us on Twitter and also on Periscope for the latest and greatest. Well, Kailu, always a pleasure to talk to you on a Wednesday afternoon.
Appreciate it.